看来我们只能靠自己了。
地球错失了最后逃命机会。
这座宫殿不是庇护所。
我觉得彭院长还是霍南大人，你们女的都没。
Hi everyone, and welcome to Middle Earth, your source for insight into China cultural industry. Listen unto those who are making a living by creating and distributing art or content onto the world's second biggest cultural market. I'm your host, Aladin Faré, founder of China Compass Production, and apart from this podcast, if you need to find a location scouting for your next film in China or bring your YouTube channel to Chinese platform, you should reach out. Today, we're going to talk about rap music inside of the Great Wall. After years being marginalized, it got a sudden boost in 2017 with the reality show The Rap of China on the online platform iQIYI. Since then, the genre has exploded in Chinese mainstream culture. To talk about this with me today, three guests, some of them joining us online. In Shanghai, Xiao Laohu, or G Fever, who is a rapper.
Hi, everyone. My name is J Fever, and you also can call me Tiger. I'm a hip-hop artist. Born in Beijing, and now I moved to Shanghai 3 years ago.
Cool. If you forgot to say that you are a famous hip-hop artist.
No, man, thanks. Because not so famous.
I really, you know, actually, we did a song together a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that. It's Close Your Eye, right?
Yes.
You have to do a remix for that, right, man?
Yes.
Yeah, glad to talk to you, Dojo.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy your works with SoulSpeak, you know?
Oh yeah. Appreciate it, bro.
I'm Dojo Shaolin. I'm producer, DJ, and drummer. I live in Beijing for 15 years. I did mostly hip-hop, but now I do electronic music and try to just stay on top of the game, let's say this way.
And then Stanley Young, a distributor of the Zhong TV channel, who is joining us from Canada.
Hey, what's good, everyone? My name is Stanley Yang. I also go by the name of 22K. I am the founder of Zhong TV. Zhong TV is the largest Chinese hip-hop platform outside of China. We currently promote and curate Chinese hip-hop and Chinese hip-hop artists to the world. One of our biggest media verticals is our YouTube channel, and we started in 2010, which makes this year our 12th year in operation.
And as this time of recording, it is actually Canada Day for Stanley. So he's actually recording in his car. So thank you for this. We'll first talk about how rap went from underground to mainstream, the kind of songs that people are writing, and why Sichuan province in Western China is known as the place for rap. Then we'll finish with the usual podcast quiz. So I was wondering, and I'm going to turn to the Sinophone in the room, like, can you first explain the difference between Shuo Chang and Xia, those two Chinese characters, to describe the music?
In my opinion, I think Shuo Chang is like an old traditional Chinese word. I think it exists maybe for 1,000 years, because I just finished a book. It's about the Shuo Chang, the art form. In Beijing, I think it start at like maybe Yuan period, or maybe more earlier than that, maybe in Tang or Song, it have some form like Shuo Chang. It's people who use some very simple instrumental like some drum or some string. They sing and they speak, like, and they also like have some rhythm and the rhythm in their tone, and they call it Shuo Chang. So I think it's a very old art form in China. And the Xiha is like a translation word for the hip-hop, the word in English. I think that is the difference.
Also, in English, like if you say hip-hop, hip-hop is a culture, but rap is a part of this culture. Basically, hip-hop includes like 5 elements. Like breakdancing, hip-hop, beatboxing, DJing, and one thing I forgot maybe. MCing, yeah. Yeah, MCing, right. So it's like rap is just the art, and hip-hop is the culture. And rap belongs to this hip-hop culture. And in Chinese, the translation is Shuo Chang is rap, and Xiha is hip-hop, basically. Like this culture and art form.
Yeah, it's like that.
I did mention that in my introduction, but I wanted to hear it from you guys. You are at the center of the scene. Like, it seems that rap or hip hop was being like a really underground culture for many years, but then it suddenly boomed into the mainstream culture here in China. Like, can any of you explain why is that?
I think, you know, everything comes from TV. Like, if you see something on TV, it always become popular. Even though nowadays it's YouTube or online mostly, but still it's like influence for these platforms. So basically hip-hop was underground for a while. Then one producer, I think, for that show, he did this TV show and invited all these like young rappers there. And they show it like 24/7 basically on iQIYI. So it's stuck in our minds. So now everyone think this is a hip-hop actually. But actually it's not. They took hip-hop and make it more commercialized. You know, they make it more pop for the mainstream cultures. So basically now it's completely different. Underground hip-hop and that TV hip-hop, they are totally different. That TV hip-hop is a pop and underground is still underground actually, because sometimes most of these underground rappers, you cannot show them on TVs. You know, they are prohibited.
Yeah. As we know, there is a reality show and a variety show in China in 2017, and as Rap China, right? But it's come from a Korean reality show. It's named Show Me the Money. I have been research and I have watched every episode of the Show Me the Money, and I think it is very interesting. Some part of that is really pop, but I can see the very great power and it's very avant-garde of the music industry in Korean, because you know you see some rappers, you know, it's very idol face, it's very handsome, but they really know what is hip-hop and they really got the skill to make the beat, to do the producing, and even the A&R, you can see the some very deep part of how a human being face the game or face other people, face the challenge, and what is the emotional change, how to achieve a dream. Sometimes the dream is not so real, it's some kind of fake, but I think the people, they want to be famous. The wish is so real. So yeah, I am respect the Show Me the Money, the game. And Rap the China, I think the first episode is great. Because the every rapper is the first time be on the TV and they don't know how to acting and you know, and some kind of them is very wild and rude. So I think it's and very hungry. But the second episode and the third one, I think the government have forbidden some part of the hip-hop culture and control what they say. And most of them, they began to know how to fake or how to acting on the TV. So I think it's not interesting at all. But I think the first episode is like a boom. I think it's kind of fun, yeah.
Totally agree.
I totally agree with what Jay Fee was saying about how the concept was derived from the Korean show, right? But I think we also have to look at, I mean, because when I started, you know, shooting music videos in 2010, like there was a bubbling scene just really underground. And I think at that time when Rap of China, the 2017, the first season came out, like, why it was so good was because, not just because it was the first season, but because all these rappers have been rapping and building their following in their respectful cities for a while now. So they were kind of like the top rappers of China, you know? So in that essence, it was great for the culture. But I think, yeah, like, I think after, you know, the second, third, fourth, like, the authenticity of the show and the music just started to dwindle, you know. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think right now in terms of the whole industry, like it's at a transition period. Yeah, that's what I wanted to add on.
But this is perfect because that was kind of my follow-up question, because Stanley, you've been shooting rap video for many years, so I guess you've been like all around China, you've met many artists. So I was wondering if you could describe a little bit the scene that like 10, 12 years ago, like how was it and how was it evolving during the last decade?
But back when I was doing it, it was just strictly for fun, you know. I think there wasn't any money in the game, like as, you know, as opposed to right now. You know, so I think
but that says something.
That definitely says something. You know, I think there was an innocence about it, you know, and everybody that was into hip hop kind of gravitated to each other and, you know, supported each other. So I think in that respect, it was more pure, you know, it felt more like it was passion driven as opposed to money driven. But I think, you know, nowadays, like, I mean, I'm not trying to hate. I think at that point, like you wanted to be able to make money and try to eat off your craft, right? But it's a love and hate relationship, I think, you know, with what's happening then and now. And I think it's all part of the evolution of a culture. You know, I think every hip hop culture kind of went through this. We're talking about Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, like, but I think with China, it just kind of exploded, but. I don't know how I feel now as opposed to 2017. I think those 2 years were actually the best years. But I think once the big companies, once the big money, the big corporations come in, then it takes a lot of the authentic, the realness out of the culture, which is kind of sad in a way in my eyes.
So Tojo, you've been producing beats for many years. So like you said, 15 years in Beijing. So yeah, can you describe how was it and how the scene has evolved?
Sure. At that time, we didn't have like too much influence of the internet. So it was just you make a beat and post it online, like on special website, thebeijinger.com, for example. That's how I did actually. I just post that. I'm selling beats. Who needs it? This is my phone number. So the person who contacted me, actually, he was the member of Yinzhang. It's Lao Zheng. He was this famous Beijing group. I think they are like originators in Beijing scene. So he called me. He just came to my dorm and started listening my beats and took them. And I was happy because I was a student. I was learning Chinese language at that time, staying in my dorm. So he took my beats, and after a while, he just made the whole album and came to me, said, okay, you're going to be producer of this album now. I said, okay, I'm student, I'm fine. And as Stanley mentioned that at that time, no too much money was involved. You know, we were doing this for the music, for the love of music. We just wanted to create something good for the future, at that time, that generation. And actually, I think we all kind of succeeded. At least we did something that you can listen right now and say, oh, this is a good quality job. As I said, Jay Fever, Xiao Lao Hu, he did amazing jobs in the past, which is now, if you listen to them, it's like amazing, like good quality.
Thanks,
with his
man.
Producer, Soul
Speak. Appreciate it.
Yeah, with his producer, Soul Speak, who is, I think, in America right now. They did amazing job, like. And also, I think you got a band, right? COU, right?
Oh, yeah. Early 2000. Yeah.
I remember, yeah. That band also was like a huge, like, Yinzhang, sorry. And COU, these three.
Yeah, Yinzhang, Yinzhang.
These three bands were like amazing. But right now, they all try to copy those, you know? It's a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad. But they don't have originality anymore. Even in beat making, they just learn like 5 minutes tutorial on YouTube, start making beats, buying loops online. Loops is like a free samples you can buy online. Just add them, layer them together, and that's it. The song is ready. It's not even their creation. They don't want to put effort or time. At that time, just to make one beat, we needed to spend like 1 month, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Nowadays, right now, I can make a beat. Xiao Lao Hu can rap right now and we're done, you know, like,
yeah, let's do it, guys, let's do it.
Right now it's faster. At that time we didn't have too much stuff, no internet, it was really hard to find something. I bought my first equipment, I had to travel all around the Beijing just to find one Akai MPC at that time, you know, it was really hard. Now I can just sit at home and buy it. So basically different times, and different techniques. Plus, we were more educated. I mean, we listen a lot of music. We like vinyls, we like cassettes, VHS era, you know, like music videos. So we were a little bit knowledgeable. But nowadays, all they listen is this commercialized hip-hop, and that's it. Like, they don't go to the 90s, 80s, 70s. Only, like, certain people, let's say 5% of the rappers and beatmakers do that.
I agree Dojo's opinion, and I think it's such a pity. Because, you know, the digging is a very important part of the hip-hop, and I think it's so much more fun. I think maybe it's not a duty to force you to learn the old music and the whole culture, but if you really fall in love with the, like to digging and to research some cassette and the vinyl, you will find some very big treasure. It's, yeah, I think it's much more fun. But now, you know, the young kids, they just focus as a chance to success. So the best way or the fast way is to copy the successful example of the pop music now, or like the somebody steal the Kendrick Lamar's flow and somebody copy the Drake. And everybody use the auto-tune. It's just like that. I think it's not fun.
What I'm wondering, and because I will admit I don't listen to rap, almost not at all, whether in Chinese, English, or French. But I was wondering, like, because for me, rap is basically like the most anti-system of music. But here in China, it became, I think, quite the symbol of a cool and hip culture, and not really so much as being rebellious. So I was wondering, like, what are the main theme in songs like that people sing about today?
I think since the culture has been commercialized, I think a lot of songs are being catered to, instead of writing what you want to write about, how you're feeling, which is, I think, brings back to your point about, you know, the culture being, it was spawned off, you know, the oppressed and, you know, rebelling against the system or whatnot. But I think now that it's commercialized, I think a lot of younger generation, they're following a template, you know, so they need to have some love songs in there, and they need to have some, you know, club hits, you know, whereas before it's really like you're writing about how you feel, right? I think, well, I mean, just from Zhong TV, like I hear a lot of like love songs and, you know, pop songs. Obviously, they can't write anything super sensitive, right? But I feel like this happened after 2017, where kids knew that you can actually make a living off the music, right? So they felt like they had to kind of cater towards the market.
It seems that now Chinese hip hop is basically becoming another type of pop music.
Somewhat, yeah.
I would like to add, for example, in America, in the 80s and the 90s, they were talking about like the political stuff mainly. And then gradually, slowly, they evolved into the, let's say, I got a car, I got a girl, you know, like this fashion life, luxury life. And it stayed that way, actually. Very rare hip-hop artists right now write about politics in America. Maybe you can name a few, like Ice Cube or, I don't know. Yeah, actually, I got only one in my mind, it's Ice Cube. He writes about politics. But all the other rappers, just a luxury life, I got a car, I got a girl. Same in Beijing. I'm talking about Beijing because I know rappers. When they bring me the lyrics, like I need to check the lyrics so I can upload to my online systems. And it's all about luxury life. Plus, sometimes they write about how it was good in the back in the days.
Yeah, when they had no car.
Yeah, when they had no car. Like, but actually, they are too young to see that time. But they still write about it, you know.
I think the most of they talk about is like I'm swag and the love story. I think it's just like that. It's not so many critique about the like society or other stuff. I think the most problem of the lyrics now is they don't have the so many experiments, like even travel or read a lot of book. They don't have the knowledge and they don't have the sense of the life. But I think it's a big change. I think it starts from the Kanye West or the other rapper. I think before that, the hip hop is like a strong man. You know, you need to show your man side. But after that, they are turned into the dark mind, dark twist, and the very emotional part, very soft part of the heart. And now the more and more young kids, they are talk about like the emo rap, and they are talk about their emotional problem, like bipolar or other stuff. I think it is good. I think I love the change, because I think change is always a good thing. I really hope they can experiment more, so they can rap more. It is not ability for everyone to make music. I mean, you just stay at your home, you know. You haven't seen the world. You haven't seen the like New York, like London, like Tokyo, and you don't know how rough or how tough the New York it is. And you even don't have the experience to struggling in the office or in the real man's world. So, yeah, this is what I mean.
But yeah, less toxic masculinity. This is great. So now I'm wondering more about the young generation of rappers, and especially regarding the new technology, because now Xiao Laohu, G Fever, you just mentioned the viral musician. So yeah, I'm wondering, like, because Dojo, you mentioned like back in the day, I guess you had like to go around, bring your USB key, bring it to people and hope that people, you know, would like listen to it. But now, like, how did internet, and I guess, yeah, this is the case for everywhere in the world, but like, I'm wondering, like, how does the video platform like Douyin or Bilibili, like, how do they change the game regarding like how to be a young artist and, you know, like make it into this world?
I think that's perfect, actually. I'm really enjoying all this new technology, new platforms. It's so easy. You just make a song, upload it online, and that's it. After 1 week, your song is everywhere. So you can benefit from that. And you can just sit on the sofa and wait for the income, you know. But at that time, it wasn't like this. You have to go and sell it.
And go to clubs, I guess.
Yes, yes. Go to club with your USB and just put USB there so anyone can listen. Quick story fast. Back in the days, there was some events called beatmaker events at school bar here in Beijing. So all the, at that time, like beginner producers just go there with their own USBs, waiting for the queue line, like Paidui, and just put USB and everyone was listening to our beats. That's how we did it. But nowadays, Apple Music, Wang Yi, QQ, it's amazing. Just put it there and sit. And you can also buy some promotions for that platforms. So your songs can be heard everywhere, and you buy like ads, you know. So it's basically help producers and musicians a lot these days.
Another question that I had, which is more regarding the type of rap, because I feel so far we've been like talking as some kind of Chinese rap is the same everywhere. But from what I know, it seems that rap from Sichuan, the Sichuan province, is actually a little bit more famous than other places in the country. So I'm wondering, like, how is that? Why is that?
Let's say this way, how I feel. Beijing hip-hop is more underground. They like more underground. In Sichuan, as you said, I think maybe they have this Sichuanhua, you know, this accent. So it fits hip-hop better? I don't know, actually. Plus, I did a hip-hop with Shanghai rapper. He sings in Shanghai. It's totally different feeling than, let's say, Beijinghua or Putonghua, you know. So I guess it all comes from the dialects, but the talk about the lyrics, I don't have too much experience because my Chinese is not that great, so I understand, you know.
Your Putonghua is not that great that you can't understand Shanghainese.
No, Putonghua is fine, but Sichuanhua and Shanghaihua, you know, like all others. But still, it's a hip-hop language, you know. They use different words. It's hard to understand for me, for foreigner.
I think when you know, hip-hop was making its rise, like in the underground scenes, like the great thing was that, you know, since China is so wide and diverse with all the different dialects, I think with Sichuan is because they adopted the type of music format, which is the trap style, that, you know, they kind of just took that and kind of made it their own. And just like what Dojo said, I think in terms of Sichuanhua, like the dialect, like you can actually flow a lot quicker and it's more fitting. So I think culturally, it has to do with like the region and where you're from. And I think they flourished because the timing, I think, was right. That was when the trap movement really hit in the United States. And, you know, a lot of kids were into that. But I think Sichuan maybe even had like a very deep-rooted background in, like, I think, you know, even punk or like rock, right? Like, so I think it played into it, you know. So I think, yeah, I think the fact that different regions adopted different styles is totally great for the culture as a whole.
But then I'm wondering, why isn't it like in Jiangsu or Fujian or Guangxi? Like, why Sichuan is like so famous instead of another province? So you guys think it's only thanks to the local dialect that is better, more suited?
In this competition, they got a rapper named Guy. So, and he's from Sichuan, I think. So he made it famous. And nowadays it's booming.
Okay, so the rap of China again comes back.
Yes.
Okay.
And also there's a crew out there called the Higher Brothers that made a big wave because they were they were one of the first ones that signed to an American company, right? But I think it was a timing, you know, like when I was shooting videos, they were already doing their thing like back then. And this was like 2000 and like, you know, 11, 12, you know. And also another rapper was on TV that kind of blew up called Xie Di, right? So he kind of put Sichuan on the map even before Rap of China, you know? So I think that kind of helped the whole, he was from Chengdu, like the Chengdu scene, right? So I think a lot of factors, but I think timing as well as the crews that were there that have been doing it for a while, even before Rap of China, like they've already solidified their following and kind of built a little movement out there already, you know?
I think every era have the own choice, or the different time, different trend. If I compare the Chinese hip hop scene to the American, it's like, you know, the Beijing is kind of like the New York style, and the Sichuan is like the Atlanta, you know, is the Dirty South and the trap. And you know, the city, the Chengdu and the Chongqing, the two city, I think is a very development. It is quite near with Beijing and Shanghai, and the consumers level, and they spend money on the fashion, on the lifestyle, and go to the nightclub. And I think it's a very good foundation of the hip hop growing. And I love the Sichuan dialogue because, you know, the Mandarin is like a official language and is a government choices. So, you know, it's a good thing is, you know, I speak Mandarin, so the most of people can understand me, not like the Cantonese, just, you know, the Canton people can know what they rap about. But I think the Cantonese is more beautiful language. The Sichuan dialogue is very fit for the trap, the new trend of the hip-hop world. So I think it's boom. And I agree, the Stanley said, is I think it's a timing because the American music company, 88 Rising, and they spend less money, but they are very good at the social media and the communication with the East and the West. And they really introduce the Hair Brother and they make it a big stuff in the America, and they go back to being popular. So I think it's all about the timing and the communication. I think is very, very important. But now, you know, I think the Chinese government, they just want to say, oh, the traditional, the local is the best. We don't need the Western culture, and you are focused on the red culture and your history. And it's just like that. You know, I really I'm not agree with that. I think the different culture, they really need to learn from each other and they talk to each other.
Well, that would be perfect for the departing thoughts, which is like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Which would be like, where do you think the scene is going to go in the coming years? In terms of audience, in terms of music, in terms of, you know, consumption of rap and hip-hop?
It's good for hip-hop artists because nowadays you hear hip-hop all around the world, everywhere, from every car, from every TV. So it's a great chance for us. But we have to adapt to the modern hip-hop. Like, I cannot keep doing the underground hip-hop for a long time because hip-hop is evolving. So I have to try to slowly adapt to the modern audience. Not like go completely commercialized or pop, but still try to make a soft transition to the modern society so they can accept me as well, you know. And I think it's perfect for rappers nowadays. Rap is everywhere. So I guess rappers and hip-hop artists, they have a future. 5, 10 years, maybe even more.
Stanley, you've been following the scene for many years. Like, how do you think things are going to evolve?
I don't know. I think, with the platform, we're pretty much evolving with time, right? So if you would have asked me 5 years ago, you know, what hit Chinese hip-hop would be now, I wouldn't have guessed that it would have hit mainstream, you know? But I'm hoping it will get better in terms of not being so commercialized. I hope, you know, kids will start to see that just because you're on TV, just because there's big money, you know, a label behind you, like, doesn't mean that you will have longevity, you know, in this industry. It's just like a learning curve, right? With every market, they kind of go through this big boom and then there's a correction. Yeah, I'm hoping that it goes back to originality, authenticity, and really artists really are standing up for something, standing up for a message. That's my personal opinion.
Because the way you describe it, it seems that the industry basically like eat up those young people who want to make it big, and then I guess they just chew them, and then after they're not like cool enough, they will just like toss them on the side and get a new one on board.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, that's not just in China, that's the music industry worldwide. But I think now with the internet, I mean, what's great about it is that, you know, you don't need all these big companies and labels and money to back you if you just believe in yourself, right? So, I mean, fame is alluring, right? Just and especially to a youngster that you know is very impressionable. But I feel that as long as there's good music, then I think this movement, this culture will thrive, right? So in a way, I'm hoping it goes back to the roots, and then artists can, with technology, will be able to make money like independently and not have to rely on all these big corporations.
Well, not sure how much the big corporation with the internet are, but yeah, let's hope. Xiaolahu, any last thoughts regarding how you think the industry is going to evolve?
I don't know, and I don't care what the music industry goes on, and I think I care about the personal expression. I think hip-hop is the very good way to do that. It gives more and more people a chance to express themselves. I think it's very important. The big problem is not, you know, the how many money you can earn. It's about the education. I mean, the self-education is about, you know, the how to understand the civilization and how to explain in the history and how to looking at women, treat women, respect women. I think, you know, you are not a rapper and you are not a ghetto kid anymore. Maybe in China, I mean. And yes, some poor kid also live here. But, you know, for most just a normal kid, I think you are a modern people and you have some duty to understand the world now. If you just want to talk about the fake story about the gangster life or a superstar's life, I think it's so poor. you know, we have the so many things can talk, can speak, can rap. We have a brain and we have a mouth. And you are a thinking people. You have the free will. It's, yeah, this is what I care about.
Word, I agree.
I think we all agree around the chat box. Thank you guys for this. Now we're going to move on to the last part of the show, my favorite, the quiz, and try to end up on a little bit more joyful note. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. So Dojo, don't look at my computer because there is the script right there. Thanks. He puts like a cover above my computer. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. When you know the answer, you buzz in with your name. First question. According to my research and Doban, can you tell me what could be considered as the first Chinese rap album?
Dojo?
Yes.
No, I think I'm going to make maybe a mistake, but maybe Yin Zhang's the Zai Beijing, that album.
That you worked on?
No. I wasn't part. That was their first album.
Okay. No, that's not the answer.
Yes,
I
remember
it's,
now.
It's even earlier.
It's even earlier.
It's in the 90s.
I saw the cassette, right? I remember now.
Tiger, J Fever. And I think it is come from like Cui Jian or Yin Xiangjie, right?
Okay, so what if I say it's Mo Mo Ren in 1993?
Oh, okay. I know that.
With Xie Dong, Yin Xiangjie, and Tutu.
Yeah. And Yin Xiangjie have made another one named Daoban. I think it's quite like the same time, yeah.
Well, close enough. No one gets the point, unfortunately. So, second question. Now we're going to go back in a more recent time. Which fast food chain had a deal with the Rap of China featuring one of its judge, the disgraced Chris Wu?
Stanley. Was it KFC?
No, it's not KFC.
Oh.
Tiger. J Fever. McDonald's.
Yes, it is. It is McDonald.
Yeah.
It is a really weird ad. Okay, now 1 point for J Fever / Xiao Lao Hu. Next question. Now we're going to play Guess the Number. Each of you will be able to say a number. Can you tell me how many contestants tried to join the season 4 of The Rap of China? I'm not talking about the real contestant. I'm talking about the people who applied to be a contestant.
Dojo, maybe... I just watched the first one. 20,000?
Okay, 20,000 in Beijing.
I don't know, like 60,000?
J Fever, maybe 300 people?
Okay, well, you guys' numbers are like so different from each other. Well, it is actually 12,692 people that try to join the competition at the beginning. So we have 1 point each, Dojo versus J Fever. So now I'm going to have like a breakup question between the two of them. Once again, a rap about the Rap of China, which has been all over this episode. So as you know, this TV show was extremely successful. The first season reached over 1 billion click for only 11 episodes. Yet, can you tell me in the first hours when the show was online, how many clicks did it get within one day?
I can just guess. Clicks, maybe 20 million.
20 million, yeah. Okay.
50 million.
Well, Xiao Lao Hu, you're far from it, but you win because it is actually 100 million click within 24 hours for the first season of the first episode of The Rap of China. Okay, cool. Well, congratulations. We'll send you over your prize because there is a prize to win. We'll send you over like the latest edition of the World of Chinese magazines. Okay, so on that note, we'll wrap up the show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
We're glad to talk to you guys.
And a big thanks to General Yuge and Wang Yu for some of the guest recommendation. And glad to have you until the end, dear listeners. I guess that means you like the show. And if you do, you can help the Middle Earth podcast to grow by recommending us to your friends. But even more important, you can recommend us topics or guests that have insight onto Chinese culture industry. It's not always easy to find people willing to talk, and a recommendation could go a long way. Also, if you are impressed by this show guest and need to find an interviewee for your next documentary piece or use a researcher in China, you know who to call. Today's episode was produced and edited by Aladdin Faré.
Music by Sean Calvo.
And distributed by the World of Chinese Podcast Network. Hope to see you next time and stay safe. Bye-bye. Looks like our listeners are still doing their dishes.
Yeah, or very committed to their workout.
Yeah, for sure.
So, since you're still here, if you want to learn more about Chinese society, culture, history, and language, you should go to theworldofchinese.com or find us on WeChat, and you'll find an amazing array of award-winning, in-depth, original reporting on China and amazing videos and podcasts too.
All right. Well, until the next issue then.